Word of God. I wanted to prove just the opposite of what I found there. And I found there the opposite of what I wanted to believe. And God was using that method to sweep my mind clean of a lot of things that I had believed that were not true. And I had to get my mind swept clean. And I had to accept what was in this word. And that's why the church is getting it today. No one else has gotten the gospel the same way I did today. No one living today, I mean. Then he says, after 3 years. So it looks like he might have been 3 years down in Arabia. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode in him 15 days. Now that again indicates Peter was the chief apostle. He didn't mention other apostles right there. He said in the next verse though, now other of the apostles saw I none. He didn't seem to care about them, save James, the Lord's brother. But he just barely mentioned, he probably just saw him there and that's about all. But Peter's the one he wanted to talk with. Now Peter's name was not Peter at all. That's a title. Peter's name was Simon. But God called him Peter, or named him Peter, which means Peter or leader. And it's called Cephas in the Aramaic language. Paul uses, except for this one place, Paul uses Cephas nearly altogether when he speaks of Peter. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. After I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. That finishes the first chapter. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. I think that must be the time that's described in Acts 15th chapter. And I went up by revelation, in other words, God did reveal to him that he ought to go and told him to go, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were erected as he just told privately what he preached to those that were of reputation. The chief apostles, in other words. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. That is, he wanted to be sure. He knew that they had gotten the message direct from Christ. He wanted to be sure. He could compare notes that they were all speaking the same thing. You notice how important it was. Paul wanted to be sure he himself was speaking the same thing. I want to know that I'm speaking the same thing as Paul did and as Peter did and the early apostles. That's why I'm so careful to check in the Bible to be sure that I'm preaching the same thing they did. And that's what Paul was. And that's why he went up to Jerusalem that time. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now he mentioned the first amount of circumcision here. He's not mentioned all of that before we get too far into this book. And that because of the false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, that's the first mention. What he's really talking about there, and as we read on, we'll see that they were Judaizers, and they wanted him to have to be circumcised and to take all these rituals and many physical things to do morning, noon, and night. And the Christian doesn't have to do those things. They were a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit had come, and they don't need a substitute for the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is here. The substitute was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. It was a schoolmaster to teach them obedience until Christ would come. And then they don't need that schoolmaster anymore because Christ gave them the Holy Spirit. And he says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will bring back to your mind everything I've taught you and everything that you learned. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That is to these false men. And that the truth of the gospel might continue with you in Galatia. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, in other words, the more chief apostles, whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. Now there he's showing that he did not think much of men bearing big titles. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. They didn't contribute any new knowledge to him at all. He already had it. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, does that set Peter as the chief among the other apostles? Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter was the chief apostle to the Israelites, and especially to what Christ called the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to whom he sent Peter. That's how I know Peter did not die alone, and the Catholics have not found Peter's bones, no matter what they claim. For he that wrought effectually in Peter, in the apostleship of the circumcision, why didn't he mention the other apostles? He doesn't, you see. Peter is eminent, the head of the others. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, now Cephas there, he means for Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles, it should be, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. He wanted to do that anyway. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now someone brought up that, I believe that young man that was here a week ago, he said that did not prove that Peter was not the chief apostle, or Paul couldn't have done that. Not at all. All the way through here, you can see that Paul is on the same level with Peter, exactly. So that Paul was just that kind of a man. He said he considered no man's person. And it wasn't that he disrespected Peter, but Peter was not really above him. In a sense, Peter was, and it was Peter, not Paul, that set the decision when they were all at, but when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was in me when they gave him the right hand of fellowship. But when Peter was come to Antioch later, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. This shows Peter's humanity that some of us still wear. And Paul, of course, was kind of strict. Paul was the most strict of all the apostles. He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He should not have feared them, but he did. So Peter was still human, and I am still human. And I can tell you, all those apostles were still human. Now, what God looks on is the heart, the attitude. That is the whole thing. And I find a man's heart, his attitude is wrong. And that his heart is not right with my heart as my heart is with his heart, to use a Bible expression. Then we can't walk together at all. We just can't. And that is the thing. But a man whose heart is right is still human. And he's going to slip up and kind of forget once in a while. And I have done that a number of times, but Jesus has always pulled me right back up again. Now then, that is covered in 1 John, the first chapter. It said that if we say we, who are Christians, say we have no sin, we're just lying, we're wrong. But it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now then, he goes on to say, not only us, but there are other people in the world also, not only just Christians, but other people also. So this doesn't mean that the fact that Peter was a chief apostle didn't mean he was exalted, or if everybody had to curtsy to him or to get down and kiss his feet and treat him as if he were a god, because he was still a human man. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. In other words, they did what was wrong and pretended. And so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, that is, we're born Jews by natural birth, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now he gets into this thing about law and grace a little bit. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now there the word works is translated from the Greek word ergon, and it means physical actions of the law. It is not speaking to spiritual things or righteousness, and it is not referring to the Ten Commandments in any way, but to that ritualistic law, which did include circumcision. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now let's get back to this again. I mentioned a while ago this teacher said that blessed are the poor in spirit, for there shall be the kingdom of God. But the meek were going to inherit the earth. Of denotes ownership. And the bank of Morgan is the bank that Morgan owned. So notice here that a man is not justified by the physical work or rituals of the law, but by the faith of. Now, of, again, denotes ownership. By the faith of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's Jesus Christ's faith, the faith that is his, that comes from him, that he owns, it is his. The faith of Christ. Now, most of the other translations don't have that. They say by the faith in Christ, and that wouldn't make sense. Let me show you how other translations have this. Here's a case where the King James is right. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by his own faith in Jesus Christ. Then you save yourself. You justify yourself. It's your faith. That is not true. But God will give you, we have believed on Christ, in order that we receive the faith of Christ. Now, that's in the same sentence, just a little later. And it is what we receive from Christ that saves us and justifies us. Otherwise, you're able to justify yourself by your own good works. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Now, that's our own faith, which we supply, that we might be justified. How? By the faith of Christ. Not my faith in Christ, the faith of. By Christ's own faith. That's the faith Christ had when he walked on the water. That's the faith Christ had when he cast out demons and raised the dead. That's the kind of faith very few men have, and no man has of himself unless God gives it to him. But it's a faith that comes from Christ as a gift. The Holy Spirit then gives you certain things. The Holy Spirit gives you the love of God. It puts God's love in you until you have that love inside of you. It gives you the faith of Christ until you have that same faith in you. You don't work it up. You can't develop that kind of faith. Now, I hope that everyone listening to me is going to learn that lesson once and for all. Why is it people say, well, Mr. Armstrong, I tell you, I'm a minister and I know that I ought to pray for the sick when they're sick and call, but I just don't have the faith. I just can't seem to work up the faith. Well, of course you can't. But if you believe in Christ, if you give yourself to Him, He will give you the faith that you need. That comes from Him. That's a divine prerogative. You can't manufacture it. You can't develop it. You can't work it up. God gives it to you as a gift. It's the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, not by the physical labor of doing physical things of a kind of a law that's all done away. That law is done away. That's a physical law. But the spiritual law is not done away and never will be. We need to get these things straight. For by the law, by the works of the law, that's the physical labor of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Now, you see, in other words, when they used to walk on nails, it was sick right into their feet, the Gentiles, that didn't justify them. They were still guilty of the sins they'd committed, and they were only adding another by doing that. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Now, what is sin? The transgression of the spiritual law. Now he's talking about something spiritual. We're found sinners. Is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. Now, because rituals, physical labor, is a type of justification that was only to teach the habit of obedience to people before Christ came, that's done away, and now in the church we can have the Holy Spirit, but we still can't sin. That doesn't mean we don't have to obey the spiritual law. We do still have to obey that. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, that is the spiritual law, if I go ahead and sin, in other words, get onto the getting side instead of the giving side, I make myself a transgressor. That's transgressing the spiritual law. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I have crucified the self in me, and I hold it under, and I don't let it dominate any longer. Now, he's crucified. Does that mean he's dead? No. Read the rest of it. Nevertheless, I live. He lived, but it's a living crucifixion. He lives holding himself under bondage. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And if Christ is living in me, then Christ's faith is in me, and that faith is in me, and I can have the faith for healing. I have healed people of cancer. I have healed people that wouldn't have lived another 24 hours of leukemia. No, I didn't do it either. God did it, but He used me as His agent in doing it. That's where the faith is. Christ gave me that faith 53 years ago. I am crucified, and the self in me is crucified. Nevertheless, I live. And yet not I, but it's Christ living in me. He lives my life for me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, not by my faith. My faith is just like a lot of filthy rags. That's my own moral righteousness. You see, it has to be the faith of Christ. It wouldn't make sense otherwise. By the faith of, denotes ownership, the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law. Now, again, he's talking about the ritualistic law. You have to realize that he's talking about two kinds of law here and know which one he's talking about. Then Christ is dead in vain. Now, what you need to do is to get the Fenton translation of that right there, and you'll understand it a lot better. I don't have that here. Well, I don't know. This next chapter is a very long one, and that's very, very important about the law. And maybe we better make that a separate Bible study in itself. But we've covered the first two chapters, and that's kind of an introduction. And I think now that you've had an introduction to understand the rest of the book of Galatians, and as we come to it now, I think it'll begin to make a lot of sense. Let me just say now, and if it's still long enough for the other churches that are going to be hearing this Bible study, that I am now working very hard on revising and bringing up to date the autobiography, and expect to be publishing a second volume of the autobiography to bring it right up to the present. But I have it all written, covering events up to 1960. But that 20 years ago, we're in 1980. So I still have to take about three chapters or so, and that's about all. I'm going to hit the high spots in this. The last three chapters, the most eventful and the biggest part of all the autobiography, all of my life. And I hope that before the year is out, we'll have that to offer. I might just mention that because we're going to have to find some way to give it to our own brethren. We can't sell it to them. But I'm also going to put it, however, in a fine binding in the bookstores where the public, if they want it, will have to pay for it because otherwise we just couldn't do it at all. It's too expensive to do that in a big way. But I'll see that it is available to all of our brethren in a less expensive binding without extra cost at all. I just finished a new introduction, and I think it makes a lot of difference in the whole thing. Well, I guess that's about it for today.